Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Is God good? Well, give him a cheer then. Amen. Hallelujah. I would say, how do you know, but it might start something, so I won't say that. Amen. All right, I figured it was stored. Amen. But he is a good God, isn't he? And we're just so privileged to be here this morning, and thank God for Pastor Terry and Miss Brenda and the whole congregation and those that are watching by live screen. And we just thank God for you. I want to share something with you that has really been on my heart for the last few months. You know, if you've been on Wednesday nights, you kind of hear me talk about what I'm going to share this morning. You know, the kingdom of God, you know, and that's what God has been impressed. It's really changed my perception about God. You know, and you say, well, what do you mean, you know? And I've been saved for a while. I ain't going to say how long, but I've been saved for a while. But learning this truth, you know, because what we have to understand is, how many know Jesus didn't come to bring a religion? But he came preaching the gospel of the kingdom, you know? And I've said this over and over again, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. But how many know if we don't know what the kingdom is, when we find it, we won't know what it is, right? So we have to understand what the kingdom of God is. It is not some tangible place, but it is a reality of what Jesus preached, and that reality is that the kingdom of God is on the inside of us by the Holy Spirit, okay? And what we have to understand is the kingdom is God's way of doing things. See, when Jesus came preaching, you got to understand that was, I think it was 400 years to where there was no prophetic utterance. And all of a sudden, John the Baptist, he began to prepare the way of the Lord. But when Jesus came, he came preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And when we read that word repent, what it really means, what Jesus was really saying was this, you got to change the way you think now. You got to change the way you think. And what he was really doing was bringing a system of God. How many know that in order to have a permanent change, there has to be a change in your belief system? See, and a lot of times we change geographically to different places and think, well, you know, if I move over here, it'll be better for me. But how many know that the same person is still going to the same place and you still have the same mindset? So in order to change things, you got to change the way you think. And that's what Proverbs said, as a man thinketh, so is he. And that's what Jesus Christ came to do. See, you can have an idea about God, but how many know your idea about God might be wrong? But when you look in the Word of God will teach us who God really is. See, and that's what the Word of God has been given to us for. I'm not here to bring condemnation, because the Bible said there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Amen? So what we have to understand is that the kingdom of God is God's rule. When I say rule, I'm not talking about a bunch of do's and don'ts. But it's his way of doing things. It is a government of God that's operating by God. And what we have to understand is this, that the government of God, how many know, is not like the government of the United States. It's a government that's ruled by God. And how many know that God has already set in motion the rules? And many times, that's what a lot of people, when you talk about rules, the first thing they say, I don't want to hear that. You know why? Because it sets, how many know when you have rules, there's boundaries that's been set in motion to where if God says this, if God tell me, John, you can't steal, how many know he's saying the same thing to everybody else? But sometimes we think, well, you know, that's for another group. But how many know the word of God is for the humanity, for all people? Amen? And Jesus said this, when Nicodemus came to Jesus and he was talking to Jesus, he said, you know, when he came to Jesus, he said, how do you do these things that you do? See, a lot of people equate that with going to heaven. But how many know really heaven was not discussed at this time? What Nicodemus was looking at was, he was saying, I see these miracles that you're doing, and I see all these signs and wonders that you're doing, but how do you do these things? And Jesus looked at him and he said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? And Jesus began to explain to him, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And what he was saying was, how many know, there has to be a rebirth. And you say, what do you mean a rebirth? Born again from above by the Spirit of God. And what Jesus, when he was preaching, he said, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. It's within arm reach. And when he began to preach the gospel of the kingdom, what Jesus was doing was what he was letting us know. Look, this is the way you operate in my kingdom, is you begin to take on my thoughts. You begin to do things my way. You begin to talk the way I want you to talk. You begin to walk the way I want you to walk. But see, he just didn't tell us to do these things, but how many know he gave us his Holy Spirit to empower us to walk out the kingdom life. And it is a work of grace. It's not a work that I have to perform to do. It is the grace of God operating on the inside of me that's empowering me to live a life above sin and guilt and shame. He said, why do I have to have this? How many know we were all born in sin? Adam took us down. He took humanity down. But Jesus, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have what? Eternal life. And Jesus said, this is eternal life, that you may know who? The true and living God. Oh, I'm yelling. Oh, so when we look at this, when Jesus began to preach, and I'm looking at this and studying this out, and I'm learning, you know, sometimes we think we have to perform, we have to do certain things. But no, you don't have to perform, you just have to believe the gospel. Because he said, repent and believe the gospel. And what is the gospel? It's good news. Thank you. How many have had some bad news preached to you? Guess what? It wasn't the gospel. Because the gospel is the good news. I mean, no, it's good news to tell you that you don't have to go to hell. It's good news to tell you that you don't have to live in poverty. It's good news to tell you that you can be healed. It's good news to tell you that you can be delivered. Yeah. It's good news to tell you that he took upon him his sins, that you might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. How many know that's good news? I'm in right standing with him. Yeah. And as I begin to read this and I'm looking at this, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, God, what was my mind at? I mean, you know, it's almost like I'm relearning. I'm relearning some things, and it's blowing my mind. He said, oh, no, I don't want my mind blown. How many know we could use a good mind blown when it comes down to the gospel of Jesus Christ? How many know you got to change the way we think? See, if you think you're defeated, how many know that's the way you will live? But if you think you're victorious and you base that on the truth, how many know you can live victorious? See, it all depends on what you believe. It's what you believe. And do you realize we do what we believe, whether we realize it or not? I mean, it's as simple as just believing. But what do my belief have to be based on? Truth. The word of God. See, and that's what Jesus is trying to get his church to understand. Look, I have did everything for you. For you, for humanity. I have walked this earth. I have finished my course and I have went to the cross. I have resurrected from the grave, and I want you to know that it's all for you. Amen. See, sometimes I believe what happens is we get so caught up in who we are in Christ to where we forget what it costs him to give us where we're at. Yeah. If that makes sense to you. Because, see, sometimes we need to back up and see, you know, he was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement, my peace, was laid upon him. And by his stripes, I am healed. See, he did it for us, and what we got to understand is our belief system has to change. Because sometimes we believe that, well, you know, we've been told, you know, when you do bad, God is mad at you. When you mess up, God is through with you. How many know that's what people tell you? But how many know that's not true? Yeah, see, that's a lie. And that's what we got to begin to take these lies and come back with the truth so that we can be transformed by the truth. And how are we going to be transformed by that truth is becoming one with that truth. Coming one with that truth. See, God ain't wanting us to just be robots, but he wants us to choose the truth. And how are we going to choose the truth? By Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father except through him. And I'm going to know he's paid the price for us to be free people. It is for freedom that he set us free. He set us free so that we could be free people to serve him without having to go through some type of ritual, but just by relationship. Amen? You say, well, are we going to get to, I'm just giving you the introduction right now. I ain't got to the message yet, okay? I want you to understand something. There is a purpose for you being here in planet Earth. And that purpose is for you to reflect God in this earth and allow God to use you for what he ordained for you before the foundation of the world. Look at your neighbor and say, there's purpose in you. You said, I don't know about that. How many know God don't make mistakes? And he don't make rejections. Amen? Everything that he created, he said it's good. Amen? The devil thought he had us jacked up and locked up, but guess what? Jesus came and unlocked every cell, amen, and he set us free, amen? The Bible said that he had paid the price for you and I to be free, amen? He has translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the marvelous kingdom of his dear Son. Otherwise, he's taken away the dominion that held me captive. He's rescued me. And you know what it means to be rescued? It's to be brought to safety. To be brought to safety. And that's what Jesus Christ did for us. See, and that's why we celebrate. We don't just celebrate because we, things are going well today, so I want to celebrate. But how many know we can celebrate when things are going bad? You know why? Because all things work together. For we know, okay? We know that all things, do you know that all things are working together for your good? Amen? And I'm telling you, church, when some of you already might do it. I'm just coming up. I'm just happy to be in the number. Amen? I'm just happy to learn that this is not a hard task. Because the Bible said the way of a transgressor is hard. Now, if you're transgressing, guess what? It might be hard for you. But if you're walking in alignment with the kingdom, let me tell you something. His yoke is easy, and his burden is light. Amen? And that's what Jesus was telling them. You know, he said, come on and get yoked up with me and come and go for the ride. Amen? Why? Because his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. See, sometimes we think it's got to be hard in order for it to be right. But how many know that's see how we think? But how many know some people say, nah, that's too easy to be true. But it is true. It's the truth. Now, does that mean that it exempt you from going through tribulation, trials, and testing and all that? No, it don't exempt you. But let me tell you what it does do for you. It empowers you to get through them. It empowers you to get through them. Because God's grace is at work. You know, he's given me the power to overcome anything in this world. You say, what? Whatsoever is born of God overcome this world. And this is the victory that overcome this world, even our faith. See, we access the power of God through faith. The promise of God, we access them through faith. See, and how many know I don't need faith if I'm going to be on the mountain all the time? See, you say, yeah, you do. No, when we're on the mountain, how many know it's all good? But when I get in the valley, is my faith still active? Am I still going to trust him? See, there'll be a period of time that we all will walk through the valley. But guess what? It's just a shadow of death. It's not going to take you out. Well, I think I better get to my scriptures now. Now let's get to the goodies. All right. So you're saying, well, you mean you wasn't preaching? Yeah, I'm just exalting you, see. And there's something that God is teaching me. How many know that when you know your giftings, it's important? Because, see, my gifting is exaltation. And I preach out of that gifting. When I preach, it's more like exaltation, you know. And sometimes I used to say, well, God, you know, I don't want to feel like I'm yelling or screaming. But how many know sometimes it just gets so good? Man, you know, you just, your leg go to moving. Don't move leg, you know, but you just kind of get, you know, because when I think about what he's done for us, church, I'm telling you, it brings tears when ain't nothing sad happening, amen? It's a joy when you realize that he did it for you. And all you got to do is just hook up with him and let's go for the ride. Amen. He's taking us through this life. See, it's not a time to give up. It's a time to get excited about the things of God. I know a lot of things is happening in our world, but how many know the Bible has already told us some of these things were going to happen. But we got to rejoice, church. Amen? We got to rejoice. Why? Because we know. We know. That it's all working for the good for us. Okay. Did I tell you where to go yet? Oh, okay. Matthew chapter 5. That's where we're going to start. chapter 5. See, you're saying, well, you're just trying to get us all excited. I want you to be excited. I mean, you know, we need to be excited about what God has done and what he's doing. I'm telling you, we're going to go through some stuff, but I'm telling you, God is good. I'm telling you, he is faithful. You know, it's sometimes, you know, when you're seeking God for things and you know, seem like, well, God, where are you at? You know, I'm learning that he's still there, John. How many know he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you? See, and that's the mindset we got to have, church. We got to get our minds geared up with the word of God. You say, well, you know, if I get it in the word, and I'm telling you, the word will work. I'm telling you, if you'll work the word. If you will work the word. Well, how do I work the word? By confessing what the word say. See, because the Bible says we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but in all points was tempted like we are. Do you? When I realize that Jesus faced some of the same stuff that we're going through, you say, no, not Jesus. I mean, you know, it's a hurtful thing to be betrayed by one of your own. It's a hurtful thing to say when you go to your own and your own receive you not. You know, you go to a family reunion and they say, nah, you can't come. How many know that don't feel good? Well, now you're in your feelings, but how many know we got feelings? And it don't feel good. You know, I remember a time playing basketball and wouldn't nobody pick me up, and it just hurt. I mean, that, you know, I want to play too. How many know things hurt, but guess what? Jesus kept right on moving. And I'm telling you, we have to keep right on moving. Amen? I told you Matthew's, right? Chapter 5, right? Okay, let's go through this a little bit. Let's see what Jesus here. Now, how many know that I shared with you he came preaching the gospel of the kingdom? In chapter 4, at the latter end, you'll see what Jesus preached, the gospel of the kingdom. Now, what he's getting ready to do is he's going into the what we call the Beatitudes. But really, this is the characteristics of the kingdom. The characteristics of the kingdom. And what we have to understand, this is what Jesus is doing. He's teaching us how to operate in the kingdom and what's going to take place, okay? And how many know we all love blessings? How many know we blessings? Okay? Are you serving God just for the blessing? Are you serving him just for... See, when you hear that word bless, many a times our mindset, it goes to what? Material things. But how many know it ain't always material things that you're blessed with? Let me give you a definition of the word bless. One word is happy. One word is happy. But this one right here, I like this one. Blessed, possessing the characteristics of a deity. It indicates the state of the believer in Christ. Blessed, he's blessed because he is indwelt by God because of Christ. And as a result, he is fully satisfied with Christ. That's a struggle. Are you truly satisfied with Christ, or is there something else that brings you pleasure? Because this is a case with a lot of times when God says, I want that, because sometimes things get our attention and it distracts us from really giving our whole heart to God. And God don't want those distractions. What God is saying, I want that. You know, and I don't know what yours is. Amen? I don't know what yours is. But, you know, I know what mine was at one time. And how many know TV is not a sin? I want to make that plain. TV is not a sin. It's got an off button and an on button. Okay? And I was addicted to Perry Mason one time. And the Holy Spirit began to whisper, you know, let me know, I need time. I need time. And I was, okay, I'll give you some time, but I'm watching Perry Mason. Because I was working third shift, and when I got off, you know, the house was quiet. So I watched Perry Mason until I got sleepy. But, you know, God started dealing with my heart about spending time with him. And you know what I do? I look at the TV, and I put my Bible there, and that didn't do it. So I'm just saying, God will sometime interrupt your plans so that he can have some time with you. And it's not a bad thing, but how many know it's a good thing that the Spirit of God will begin to prompt us and say, hey, you're getting a little bit too going this way here. Let's bring it back in. Okay? So what he's saying here is, that we're satisfied with Christ. To be blessed is equivalent to having God's kingdom within one's heart. And that's in Luke 17:21, where he says, the kingdom of God come not with observation here or there, but it's within you. And see, he's in you to govern you. He's in you to lead and guide you into what? All truth. Does that mean I can't enjoy life? Yes, you can enjoy life, but guess what? You got a guide. And it's called the Holy Spirit that will lead and guide you into all truth. Now, if it ain't truth, guess what you have to do? Let the lies go. You got to let it go and begin to gird yourself with truth. Quit telling yourself you're a failure. Quit telling yourself you'll never make it. Why? Because that ain't what the kingdom say you are. Quit saying, I don't have joy, I don't have peace. Because guess what? Let's read, and then I'll explain that to you, okay? Let's move on. The believer's satisfaction comes from God and not from this world. And you got to understand something. Who is the God of this world? Satan. And guess what he want to do? He want to influence you to keep dabbing in the world instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to influence you to keep hungering for God. Okay? So in Matthew's, it says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying. Now, how many know there's another man that went to the mountain to get some instructions? And it was Moses. And Moses went up to get instructions for what? For the Ten Commandments, for God to do what? To give to the people. Now, here Jesus is going off on a mountain, but how many know he's not teaching us the law, but he's teaching us principles of the kingdom. He's teaching us kingdom characteristics. And what you got to understand, how many know character has to be what? Developed. Guess what? It's already in you, but it's got to be developed so it can begin to work out of you. God's grace, not works, but God's grace. Paul said, I am confident of this very thing. He which have begun a good work will complete that work until the day of Jesus Christ. He said, for it is Christ who works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. So when you have those good pleasures, you want to just love on God. Guess who's putting that in you? God is. When you say, I don't want nothing to interfere with my relationship with God. Guess who's putting that in you? God is. Do you know the flesh don't want to submit to that? But guess what? We have to discipline ourselves and say, I'm going with the kingdom. I'm following the truth. Amen? And he said, he taught them, and he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. That word there, poor in spirit, don't mean that you busted and disgusted. I ain't got no money. I'm poverty. This is a spiritual thing that says, I can do nothing apart from him. Amen. It is a humbling thing that he's saying here. Blessed is the poor in spirit. Guess what he said? Blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the what? Kingdom of heaven. Now, the kingdom of heaven can be, it's interchangeable for kingdom of God. The reason Jesus spoke of the kingdom of heaven in Matthew's is because he was dealing more with Jews at that time, or Israel at that time, okay? You say, well, wasn't Israel? No, Matthew's is more of a Jewish, he's speaking more to a Jewish audience, and guess what? The Jews understood heaven, because when they talked about heaven, it identified with God. So when Jesus said the kingdom of heaven can be exchanged, it could be kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God. When you read the other gospels, you're going to see more of the kingdom of God. But in Matthew's, you see more of the kingdom of heaven. One translation said the kingdom of heaven is where it came from. And the kingdom of God is within. But how many know they can be interchangeable because they're on the inside of you. Okay? So listen what he says here. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. See, when you pour in spirit, your dependency, what he's saying here is that your dependency is not in yourself, but your dependency is in God. And see, because your dependency is in God, what comes with the kingdom of God? Peace, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. See, he's telling you that joy is yours. Okay? Peace is yours. Righteousness is yours. What does righteousness mean? You're in right standing with God. I'm in right relationship with God. And because I'm in right relationship with him, guess what? I might look poor, but I'm not really poor. How many know he chose the poor of this world to be rich in faith? Amen? Let's look at James 2, chapter 2, and verse 5, okay? Had to turn real quick. Chapter 2 and verse 5, okay? James chapter 2, verse 5, okay? It says, listen, my beloved brethren, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those whom he loved? I mean, you know, we're in the kingdom, and the kingdom is in us. And notice what he said. He's chose the poor of this world to be rich in faith. Now, let me ask you a question. Can faith begin as we develop in faith? I mean, you know, faith will give us substance. We're not basing it on a need or want, because the Bible said he will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be what? Added. See, let me tell you something. If we'll seek the kingdom, we won't want for anything. My Lord. If we'll seek the kingdom, we won't want for anything. Because he said, if I will seek the kingdom and his righteousness, all these other things will be added. I told myself, John, do you want to work the rest of your life? I said, no, self. I choose to seek the kingdom. I choose to allow God to rule and reign in my life. If he say no, it means no. If he say let it go, it means let it go. See, the good thing about the kingdom, it takes over everything. It covers everything. It covers my marriage, my home, my lifestyle. I mean, the kingdom is everything. A kingdom marriage, a kingdom home. Why? Because he's Lord. He's Lord over it all. And then when I seek him and I seek his righteousness, these things will be added. See, so what James is saying here, he has chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom. We're joint heirs with Christ, but I mean, we're heirs of God and we're joint heirs with Christ. How many know because we are heirs, we are God's people. We are his chosen people. And he want to take care of his people. Amen? Okay, so let me finish this out. It says, the kingdom which he promised to those who loved him, but to you, but you have dishonored the poor man. Is it not the rich who oppress you and personally drag you into court? Do they not blaspheme that fair name by which you have been called? If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law, what is the royal law? The law of faith. Don't get this mixed up with the Mosaic law. The royal law is the law of faith, the law of liberty. Amen? The law of faith, which worketh by us believing and trusting God. That's his law. The royal law, the law of liberty, the law that brings freedom, the law that set us free from sin and death. Remember, Paul said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ, for the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. The life-giving spirit. The life-giving spirit. Okay? Watch this. According to the scriptures, you should love your neighbor. Are you sure that's what it said? Yes. You should love your neighbor as yourself. And people have to, well, I just can't love myself. That's why we can't love others. When you can't love yourself, you can't love others. Well, is it a sin to love yourself? He just told you to love your neighbor as yourself. I'm going to give you one indication why you should love yourself, because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are fearfully. You are God's creation. Now, we're not talking about a love that puffs you up and trying to make everybody bring attention to yourself. But this is giving attention to God. Amen? Because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So he said, love yourself, okay? Love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing what? Well, okay? So in the kingdom, our dependency is on him, okay? And he goes on to say, blessed are those who mourn, are grieved, for they shall be comforted. How many know sometimes we go through grieving? Yes. You know, one thing that I'm learning, grieve over the things that don't please God. It should grieve us when we do things that don't please him. See, I'm not trying to preach condemnation, but I'm just saying that it should. How many know we got to love what he loved and hate what he hate? Because if you start compromising, how many know it's going to take you down a road that you really don't want to go? So what he's saying is that we blessed are those that moan. I moan over when I miss it. I grieve when I miss it. But guess what he says? I will be comforted. And how many know that we have the comforter, which is the Holy Spirit? He come to comfort us when we go through grieving. Have you ever went through a trial and it just grieved you? It hurt. Just felt like this is I'm gonna die in this. But how many know it was just the way you felt? But guess what? There's a comforter. Allow him to comfort you. See, he's with you. And sometimes we don't pull on the resources that God is giving us. He said, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit won't come. Look at your neighbor and say, we got an advantage. What's my advantage? The Holy Spirit. He can show you things that's about to come. He can give you revelation. He can give you wisdom. See, and all these things God has given us. I'm going to stop at this one, okay? Uh-oh. Number five. He said, blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Notice he didn't say world. I want you to look at this because this ain't the Holy Spirit, and Pastor, y'all can judge us, but the Holy Spirit showed me this, and I said, what? He said, earth. Now, listen to this. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So there's something to this. He didn't say world. He said earth. The gentle, those that have been developed in meekness and gentleness. Do you realize some of these things are the fruit of the Spirit that Jesus is teaching us? The characteristics of the kingdom? A lot of them are fruits of the Spirit. And how many know fruit has to be what? Developed. Is not gentleness a fruit of the Spirit? Meekness is the fruit of the Spirit. Okay. All right. Let's look at Psalms 115, and this is my last scripture. Psalms 115, verse 16. Okay? And I'm telling you, this thing was worrying me all weekend. I was saying, Lord, should I share that? I mean, because, you know, some people think, man, he crazy talking about we inherit the earth. I mean, you know, God is the landowner of it all. And you are the steward of what he has here in this earth. He gave Adam, first of all, he told Adam, he said, guard what? The garden. Be steward over the garden. What God was saying, manage my earth. See, but guess what? We have to understand that we got to develop in what he's teaching us here, the characteristics of the kingdom, because if you don't, how many know you'll get high-minded and thinking that you got this going on yourself, and how many know God ain't giving you the glory? That's the problem. A lot of times we don't want to mature in the things of God, but God says, well, if you don't mature, you're going to be limited in what I have for you. Not that I don't want to give it to you, but because you're not in a place to handle it in the right correct way. You want to beat people up and beat them up with the Bible. How many know the Bible is not a hammer to beat anybody up? Okay. Let me get to my scripture. I said, this is the last one. I'm going to be a man of my word. I got to get it first. Y'all got it? Oh, okay. Ah, come on, John. 115, verse 16. You got it? Okay, I haven't yet. Okay. It says, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of man. So he just said what? Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. What he's saying is we need to manage this earth with the spirit that God is giving us, the influence that God has given us. We need to manage this thing on earth. So you say, well, I want to go to heaven. How many know heaven is ours, but how many know while we're here in the earth, the Bible says, occupy till I come. And God has given each and every one of us something to do to what? Inherit the earth or to steward the earth and take care of it so that his kingdom, this world, will become the kingdom of our God. See, a steward is a manager. And that's what Adam was supposed to have been doing in the garden. How many know he messed up? But God said, I'm going to send another Adam and he's going to restore all that Adam lost. And he's going to give you authority to operate in this earth. The last Adam. Exactly. And he said, the same thing I wanted for Adam, I want for my church. See, the church is the instrument that is like a conduit. How do you say that word, Pastor? Conduits that the kingdom flows out of. Some people think, well, the church is the kingdom. No, the church is the body of Christ. The kingdom is the way that we rule and come out of us. It's the way God does things. Say, well, do we need the church? Yeah, we need the church. Why? Because the kingdom, the government is backing us. But what we have to understand is this, the gentle shall inherit the earth. Okay? Gentleness and meekness. The concept is often referred as strength under control. Strength under control. Well, you know I got a bad temper now, Pastor John. Gentle, buddy, gentle. Easy, easy, easy. I'm not going to operate out of the flood. No. Blessed are the gentle. You know, Moses was a powerful man, but he was the meekest man of the earth. The earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And God is saying, I want you to manage my earth. Be gentle. What is gentleness? It's the concept of offers. It refers strength under control. Have you ever people tried to get under your skin and you knew what they was doing and you just, ain't gonna happen. I ain't retaliating. I'm not getting upset. No. Oh, me and the Holy Ghost is just at peace. But then there come another time. Oh, Lord, I'm flushed out. I mean, you know what God is saying. Look, you got to stay. You got to allow me to what influence this. Let my grace work in you. Let my divine enablement work in you. Okay? Listen at this, and then we close it. The concept refers to as strength under control. How many want it? Let me tell you, it's already in you. Let it develop. It's in you. You said, no, it ain't it. It came in you with the Spirit of God. That's why I don't understand people that says we don't have the gifts no more. They ain't just gifts. They gifts by the Spirit. And if the Spirit is here, guess what? The gifts are still here. So is strength under control? Well, if that's in me, why do I get upset? Deal with it. Take it to God. Take it to the cross and says, why am I doing this? Why am I getting upset? Sometimes it's a past wound. Sometimes it's a past hurt. It's something happened in your past that you need to deal with. Does that make you a bad person? No, it doesn't. Okay? And it's this also, it says, strength under control. But if you're not careful, it will be strength seeking control. And God never told Adam to control any human being. He said, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowls of the earth, and those things that creep. He never said, control humanity. But guess who's in control? The Holy Spirit wants to control you and develop you in the things that he's talking about, the characteristics of the kingdom. Amen? Okay. God bless you. Now, in order to be what we just read, how many know you must be born again? You cannot do this in the flesh. When I mean in the flesh, that you haven't been born again. There is a difference. Born again means that God has spirit has come on the inside of you and he's residing on the inside of you. And I know people say that you got to do this and do that, but the Bible says when you repent of your sins, how many know the Holy Spirit comes in you? That's what Paul said, that he comes in you. And is there anybody here today that is not born again? And you say, I want to be born again. I want to be gentle. I want to love God. Anybody? Okay, so that means we all born again, right? Okay, stand to your feet. Say, I am born again from above. God has empowered me to live a victorious life. Above all the flesh and above all doubt, unbelief, and I'm a child of God of faith. And I will operate by faith. As the Spirit teaches me, I will follow. As the Spirit teaches me, I will do. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. Go be blessed.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.